teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote the proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. And they got up and they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." Well, may the Lord bless his word to us. Let's take a moment to pray. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Jesus was anointed to communicate the the things of the Father, the Father's love, the Father's purpose, to speak, yes, at times against what was wrong, but also to encourage and bring to faith what was right. In that reading that we read together, I don't know if you noticed, but the synagogue had a shift and change of attitude, didn't they? At first, they couldn't get over just how wonderful Jesus' words were. But then suddenly, when he starts talking about how, you know, others were blessed by God rather than their own people, suddenly when he doesn't ring in the nationalistic bell that they want to hear, they seek to force him off the edge of a cliff. There's a warning for anybody who just loves to be popular. The Spirit of God doesn't always make us popular. He was filled with the Spirit. He didn't make a mistake or a misjudgment. The mistake and misjudgment were with the people listening to him. They just wanted their ears tickling. A pat on the back. They didn't want the truth, the reality of what God was saying through him. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. The primary aim of the Lord Jesus, to communicate that message far and wide. I don't know if you remember Jesus' words when they found him in prayer after a really busy day of healing, and people had literally brought the whole village to him for him to touch and to heal. But he was away. He withdrew from the crowd. And he said this when they found him: I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Anointed to preach. Yes, he healed many bodies, but his primary concern was to preach, to prompt faith, and therefore to bring reconciliation between man and God. But it goes on in that passage, not just to preach, although arguably this is part of the preaching, to proclaim. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind. He's not breaking people out of prison physically, but in his words he's setting them free. Yes, he did give sight to the blind eyes as well, but spiritual sight as well was gained. People were liberated by the things he proclaimed to them. Through his message and the miracles he performed, there was provision for the poor, freedom for those enslaved by sin and their masters who promoted sin. In seeing Jesus, his listeners could see God, see God's love, see God's mercy, see God's blessing. There are many examples we could recount. You see them on every page in the gospel. The liberating power of God. Yes, literally at times giving sight to the blind, but certainly always moving from a miracle to teach, to preach, to proclaim, to liberate from the wrong thinking of the people. Also to release the oppressed, are the words there in Isaiah 66. Some were oppressed by demons. How many times did the enemy confront Jesus with the words of the demons? All the people that Jesus spoke with were under the burden of Rome, weren't they? The pressures of the Roman Empire upon them. But a greater burden oppressed them and all of us. A virus, if I can put it this way, far worse than any medical concern. Sin is at work in every heart and life and spreads in words and deeds. David said something of that this morning. I just want to echo that to remind you that of how our world is in regard to that. Yet we have the answer. Christ is the answer, the antidote to all of this. By the Holy Spirit's anointing upon Jesus, sin would not impact his life, and he would provide that antidote through his sinless sacrifice for all mankind. To proclaim God's favor was his purpose. David spoke wonderfully 2 weeks ago on proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour, if you remember that message. Jubilee, debts paid, slaves set free, a new start. And now again, we see that as Jesus encounters different ones, many of them oppressed, downcast, ostracised by their society. And there is Jesus literally bringing them to life, spiritually speaking, certainly. And in the case of Lazarus, physically as well. He proclaimed God's favour, God's grace, God's blessing, even going all the way to Calvary, there on the cross for us. To fulfil, as well as to proclaim, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so Jesus went about doing the Father's will, guided and led of the Spirit, aided by the Spirit. He fulfilled what was required in every way. He fulfilled the plan and the purpose of his coming. What a Saviour we have. An absolute, wonderful, glorious, complete work. Nothing left to chance, nothing left in a sort of a grey area. Completely and wonderfully, he fulfilled these words. This prophecy is fulfilled today, he says. And indeed, as we look at what he said and what he did, and we know of Calvary and all that was there done for us. So the purpose of the Spirit in Jesus' life, unquestionable. It's so clear. It's on every page in the Gospels. But what about the purpose of the Spirit's work in your life and mine? Well, let's bridge the gap. Let's take Peter and John as two examples of people like us, because they were sinful men, frail, fickle, but they were Spirit-filled and led to make a difference in Jesus' name, to make a difference in their community. Now, I know it's not Pentecost, and so, but let it be Pentecost every Sunday. God poured out his Spirit at Pentecost, enabling the news of Jesus' death and resurrection to be conveyed in many languages. You remember, they were able to speak in tongues. And the people in the crowds from all different places heard in their own language. And they were able to hear of what Jesus had done. That he was alive. The resurrection was and is at the heart of the gospel message. Not that just somebody had come and lived a wonderful life and died cruelly and wrongly, but he'd lived and died and risen again to prove who he was. And there's Peter and John, the Spirit at work in both of them. And the ultimate purpose was to glorify Jesus, to reveal him as Saviour and Lord. And we see that in what they did and in what they said. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And it enabled them to preach the good news. They never went to a Bible college. There was no Bible college. They were fishermen. So they didn't even have, you know, some sort of rabbinical upbringing. They'd been part of the synagogue scene, no doubt, and of course had the best teacher possible for 3 years. But they preached the good news. So we simply read, Peter said to them. And when you know, sometimes you just read verses and you just think, okay, so he opened his mouth and spoke. But bear in mind, this is the same Peter who denied the Lord under pressure. This is the same Peter who'd run away through fear. And though John had stayed at the foot of the cross, we're told they all fled on what we call Maundy Thursday. So the fact that he would just stand and boldly speak in such a public arena, in such a, you know, taking them up, making the most of this opportunity, you know, they could have thought, oh, let's, you know, a miracle's taken place, that's wonderful, but let's just slip back into the crowd. Let's just walk away. Let's just leave this. But no, the miracle was the platform then to speak of who it was who had done the miracle, in whose name this had been carried out. Through the Spirit, Peter and John were able to speak, or Peter particularly, to preach the good news. They were able to proclaim freedom. All the people saw him walking and praising God. The man was free to walk and jump and praise God. He was free now to enter the gates. For so long, he'd been outside the gates, left. But now he entered in to go into the courts. He did that physically, but there was, in a sense, a spiritual entrance, wasn't there? He was able now, through this touch of the Lord Jesus and belief upon him, to enter in. The man had been set free from his limited view and his limited life into a new experience, and hence he jumps for joy. The Spirit's power at work had made this possible. He'd been released from his oppression. By faith in the name of Jesus, they said, this man who you know was made strong. No taking any glory for themselves. It's all because of Jesus. Remember Jesus' words to them. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And so it begins. The Spirit comes down in those languages they speak. It begins to spread from there. But here is an instance in Jerusalem, the very heart of the city, the temple gates. You are my witnesses in Jerusalem. And it's one of those key things that Luke picks up upon. A witness to the world. Twice, Peter says, we are witnesses of this. We are witnesses that Jesus rose again from the dead. And here is, not quite exhibit A, but here is a man who is back on his feet with a new life, as you can all see. You can witness what he has done for this man as well. And so they did this in the power of the Spirit. Their lives have new direction, new purpose, a new way of living, because of the Holy Spirit upon them, within them, at work in their lives. Well, what about your life and mine and the purpose of the Spirit in our lives? Well, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot even be saved. We cannot save ourselves. We need the Spirit of God. In John 16, verse 8, Jesus reveals to us that when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's involved in that spiritual transaction, in that work within us. He reveals, first of all, we cannot save ourselves, but then he reveals only Jesus can save us. And then it gives us that assurance, only Jesus has saved us. It's all a work of the Spirit. And then as we go on in our Christian life, he aids our prayer. Well, hopefully from day one he aids us in our prayer. But Romans 8 tells us the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We're weak when we begin, but I don't know, as the years roll on, still as weak as ever, still need help when it comes to prayer. What do we pray, Lord? How do we pray in this situation? What's your will, Lord, in this matter? And we groan and we long in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, Romans 8 tells us. The Spirit of God helps us in our understanding. We have our minds, we have books, we have Bible teachers, we have resources as long as our arms and longer. But the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. It's a simple truth that Jesus says about how the Spirit just illumines the page, just lights up a text for us. David was sharing earlier how this afternoon the Lord's just spoken through a text to him. It's a work of the Spirit. Yeah, it's for the preacher, but it's for all of us as we read God's word together. House groups this week involves just reading and just meditating on a passage and just letting God speak to us through it. So the Spirit of God works in these ways in our lives. But is there more? Does the Lord want to do more? Yes, he wants to inform us. Yes, he wants to help us pray. He wants us to know and be assured that we are saved. But what about reaching out? What about making a difference in our community? Are we just left to pick up some litter? Or is there a bit more? No, we've got a gospel, good news message to proclaim. In John 14, verse 19, forgive me, I've repeated this verse a few times recently, but I think it's the key. To empower your life, to empower my life, Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. Dying to yourself, but living for Christ, living in the power of his life. He says, another counselor I will give to you. One of the same type as you have known with me, he says to his disciples. You've enjoyed my presence, you've known my peace, and indeed seen my power. Another counselor I give to you. One who will give you that same presence, that same peace, and that same power. The acts of the Holy Spirit today. God's still answering prayer. God's still at work in our world. I think we believe that still. He works in us, certainly, and works for us in an inner work. But there is a work he wants to do through us and by us, an outer work that will impact others as well. I had a strange experience a week last Friday, I think it was. I had to wait in. A skybox had broken. That's quite serious in this day of entertainment and technology. And the man who came was a nice chap. He'd been a policeman for 14 years and is now fixing skyboxes. And he jokingly said to me, he said, I gave up the police force because every time I turned up, it was the worst day for everybody, and everybody hated seeing us. He said, now I'm the skyman. I go round, and all the children love me, particularly when I arrive, because I'm putting on their new TV programs. People even let me into the traffic now, driving a sky van. When I was a police car, they would go, you know, they'd look the other way. I thought how sad that was. Didn't surprise me, but it just saddened me a little bit. But the morning got a bit longer. He was only supposed to be with us half an hour maximum. But he was having trouble finding out what the problem was. So he decided he'll take off the dish and put a new dish on. That took him a while. Then he decided he'd put a new cable to the box. And that took a while. And then ultimately, he looked at the box and he said, I've got another one of these, a reconditioned one. I'll get that for you. So in the end, I've got a new dish, a new cable, and a new box. But he still couldn't get it going. What can it possibly be? Well, in the time we'd been talking, without being too technical, there is a little card that you put in the box. And as we talk, for some reason, he put the card in upside down in the box. And he'd rang the office and said, I've done everything, it's still not working. And they said, oh, it could be 4 hours, you just have to wait, it will work eventually, typical technology. Anyway, 2 hours later, I'm thinking, still not working, I don't know what's going on here. I look at the card, take it out, and it says, this way up, please put it in. And he put it in the wrong way. And I could have been there forever with it not working. I simply turned it around, put it back in, and it works. Now, why do I mention that? Because we need to get things the right way around for things to work. And if we're trying to do things in the flesh, or we're trying to do things, you know, without the Spirit's guidance and help, it will not work. He has been given, if I can describe it that way, as I say, with great respect and reverence, that the work to glorify the Lord Jesus can be done in this place through you and I. The Spirit at work in us, yes, but out from us too, to those around us. You know, we've been talking about how we're living amongst the fearful, the crazy world in which we're in. Surely this week, you know, we can, in the power of the Spirit, live not full of fear, but full of faith. Lives that show that we are depending on the Lord, and our faith is rock solid in Him. We can make a difference. We can show a difference. If we've got the thing the right way round, we can do that. If we know what our life's purpose is, to live for God's glory, to live to make Christ known. That's not just the pastor's job or the deacon's, that's all of us, wherever we are. What is the Spirit doing in your life? Is He helping you more to pray, deepening your prayers? Are you still at the beginning? Have you not yet given your heart and life to Him? Convicting of sin, righteousness and judgment, that's where it begins. But as we go on, we need to be more and more dependent upon Him in everything that we do. Powered by the Holy Spirit to be effective in fulfilling His purposes. Not ours, His purposes. Because that's who we were made to be. That's our purpose. That's what we're about. Have you given Him your all? Have you got things the right way round this evening? What is He doing in your heart and in your life? Amen.